This is The Cozy Corner with Alexia Gordon. I'm Alexia Gordon, author and host of the podcast. Join me and listen in as I chat with authors writing on the less gritty side of crime. You won't find graphic sex or violence. You will find intriguing plots, engaging characters, and entertaining writing. Welcome, listeners. Welcome, listeners, to The Cozy Corner with Alexia Gordon. I'm Alexia Gordon, author and host of the podcast. Joining me in the corner today is Alice Luisi, author of the Julia Driscoll Mysteries. She also writes the not-at-all-cozy horror novels as Kate Morgan. Welcome, Alice.
Hello.
Since this is The Cozy Corner with Alexia Gordon and not The Portal to Hell with Alexia Gordon, let's talk about your Julia Driscoll Mysteries. You've published about 9 novels and a short story in the series, beginning when she was still Julia Falcone, and
yes,
following her up till now when she's the owner of Driscoll Investigations. So tell us a little about Julia.
Well, Julia, people say write what you know, and the only connection Julia and I have together is she used to be a nun, and so did I. I figured if I was going to start writing, I should have a good base from which to work. Julia is much nicer than I ever was, but the poor thing does have a pole up her butt, which I never did. I was the one who was always in trouble in the convent every day for 4 years. She was a model nun. So when she left the convent because horrible things happened, she realized she didn't know how to interact with humans at all, and she needed to get a job. So she became a barista because she liked coffee, and she met Frank Driscoll, who owned the detective place upstairs, the detective office, and then he hired her as her secretary, and things happened. Romantic things happened. Well, case things happened, and romantic things happened, and they ended up getting married, even though at first she said, I should not date the boss. And the few friends she had said, you should really not date the boss, but then she married the boss, and then she became the boss. The series started out with Midnight Inc., and they dropped it after 3 books, and then I signed on with a different publisher, and to basically give it a fresh start, we had it jump ahead 2 years, because at the end of the last book with Midnight Inc., Frank proposed and she turned him down, because they were at a wedding and she said, we're just all, you know, full of romance and things, and this is a bad idea. However, she realized that was a really stupid decision. So when I restarted the series with a new publisher, they were already married. And I wrote a bridging short story, which was the idea of Drew Ann Love, the host of Drew's Books Musings. She said, I should write a short story to catch people up. So in the short story, that was the wedding. And there was a mystery, of course. And because Frank, he got an injury working on a case and had to rehab his leg from gunshots. He ended up rehabbing his leg, going back to the police force, and she ended up making the detective business a woman-owned business and running it from there. And now they do fun things like work occasionally on cases and have babies.
Okay. Now, as you mentioned, she is a professional private investigator, which is a type of character more often associated with hard-boiled and noir subgenres than cozy. So how would you characterize your novels? Or where would you show them in the bookstore if you had to pick a shelf?
If I had to pick a shelf, I would put them on mystery and not cozy, because cozy are really supposed to have an amateur detective, which she was for the first 3 books. Also, my bad guys say very bad things. They don't say, golly gee, I have just been shot. Mark Baker, who writes Carstairs Considers, that he reviewed my book Second to None and did give a warning in the review that there is some language because someone got shot. So I would, and he didn't say, darn, I've been shot. So I would just shelf them under regular mystery, even though they have been marketed as cozy, but they're not sweet enough to be cozy. I'm not a sweet person.
But you're fascinating, and that's more important.
But then that's why I wear fascinators. That's what you'll see me in.
So now, even though your mysteries might be more on the traditional than the cozy side, they're still not dark and grim. So how do you manage to keep your private investigator's work from becoming too gritty?
Well, I make sure they have a fun private life. I also gave, because Julia tends to be very tightly wound, I made sure she had an assistant who was the opposite of tightly wound, so I gave her a Christmas elf. I did work once in one job with a Christmas elf. This woman lived and breathed Christmas 365 days of the year. I wanted to hit her over the head with something hard. And she was fluffy and adorable and just Christmas everything. So I made sure I gave Julia an assistant who loves Christmas, and she was all natural, and they raise alpacas, and it's, yes. She force feeds her chamomile smoothies for health. It's, yeah. So I just made sure she had fun in her work life to counteract, because the mysteries are not nice mysteries. We have murder, and, you know, we have at one point a suspect tries to drive Julia off a bridge into the river. So I also gave her, because in the later books in the series, she started doing a little paranormal investigation. Across the street, there's a tarot shop, and the woman who runs it is like everybody's favorite fluffy, chubby aunt. She wears these purple draperies, and she's so funny, and she does tarot readings for the baby, and it's a hoot. So that's how I keep it light.
Although a 24/7 Christmas elf sounds more like something from a horror novel than light. But since you mentioned tarot readings, that does bring me into my next question. The Driscoll Investigations cases do take a paranormal turn in the later books in the series. So did you start out planning to write paranormal mysteries? And what kind of led to that shift?
Well, now, my other me, Kate Morgan, writes horror with paranormal and ghosts and every kind of things. And now, while those are very dark books, although they are funny, I tend to write funny in everything. They are very dark, scary books. But when I got to the sixth book in the series, I thought, this is going to get boring unless I change something up. So I talked to my editor, and she agreed that putting a paranormal twist might be a good thing. So it started out with Julia being the one who debunks fake hauntings. And to do that research, I used to work for PSICOP, which is CSICOP, and it long is an acronym for something long, but they debunk everything supernatural. And there's a guy named Joe Nickel, who is an incredibly crusty, cranky old man. He's 70-something, and I went and interviewed him, and he hates everything and everyone, and he debunks everything, and he certainly belittled novelists. And I'm smiling at this man as he's belittling novels, thinking, well, this is all research. And I learned from him how to debunk. And so at first, Julia just debunked it. This is all fake. And then... but I left the thing open. Wait a minute, what was that noise I heard, or what did I see out of the corner of my eye? So as it progressed, that yes, Julia had to just grit her teeth and realize that there were such things as ghosts. And she really hated this idea, but facts were facts. And by the time I was writing the last book in the series, she was leaving an interview, and suddenly the car got very cold, and she just sort of sighed and said, look, I told you people, nobody to surprise me when I'm driving. And he replied, you're parked in a parking lot. So she started having ghosts hire her. And one of the three rules she gave them was, your family has to have money to pay me because I have a kid. So it just became another very practical part of the investigation, even though the perky Christmas elf absolutely positively does not believe in ghosts, period, until she saw a picture.
Okay. So now you mentioned that even in your Kate Morgan horror novels, there is some humor. So I guess it's one thing those would have in common with your Julia Driscoll novels. And they do both have an ex-religious protagonist. Other than that, though, I'm suspecting that they're about as different from each other as rosé is from bourbon. So is that fair to say?
Oh, that's very fair to say. I tell this story every so often. I was at the Malice Domestic Conference, which is for cozy mysteries, and a sweet little old lady was talking to me. And I happened to mention that, oh, by the way, I also write horror novels, and she actually backed away. Because apparently it was contagious, horror novels. So yes, they are very, very different, and it's nice to be able to write different things. The novel I'm writing now is straight commercial fiction, it's like nothing I've ever written. So it keeps me from getting into a rut.
So do you, how do you juggle writing in different genres without, you know, getting elements of one into another?
Editing is my friend, because I will, and then I won't see it until I go back and try to edit the whole thing and think, no, that belongs in a Julia book. Take it out. Because I just write it and then I'll fix it later. Like, I've had to tone the Julia books down. I did research. I took this one for the team, so you never have to do it. I looked up pictures of what a burned eyeball looks like.
Oh, yeah.
It's as nasty as you think it is. And I wrote that description into the book because the bad guy does bad things and gets what he deserves. And my editor said, oh, no, you have to take this out. It's like, So editing is my friend.
That might be gross even for a Kate Morgan novel.
No, it actually wouldn't.
Okay. That is dark then.
It is, yes.
So editing helps you keep the genres straight. But how about the personal aspect of Julia being a former nun? Did you find it difficult to write about a decision as personal as choosing to give up life as a religious and start an entirely new life from scratch?
No, actually, I didn't find it difficult. Julia left the convent for different reasons. Julia left because this priest tried to do things that priests shouldn't do to nuns, and she bailed. That was not why I left. And because our reasons were very different, and I don't discuss my reasons for leaving because they're personal, I didn't find it difficult at all, except in the second book in the series called Back in the Habit, where I made her go undercover in her old convent because this little nun had committed suicide and the evil superior general wanted Julia to sweep it under the rug. And let's just say I got literary revenge on a few nuns in that book. but I was having convent flashback dreams a lot when I wrote it. It was not fun.
Wow.
Not fun. And I'll be at what's, this is 2020. I left the convent in 1983. So it's been a long, long time, but every so often I'll get a flashback dream. It's a cult. Let's face it. The convent is a cult. They cut you off from family and friends, make you dress, walk, talk, and think differently, and control every part of your life. It has an effect.
But not many people can say that they got revenge on nuns.
No, it was fun. Well, there are still a couple nuns I'd like to punch in the face, but I think they're dead. So I'm saved from that.
As in, they can always show up in another book.
They could easily. Oh my gosh, yes. I could do literary revenge so well.
And it's, speaking of future literary revenge, what's next for you?
What's next right now is I am writing, there's an ancient Greek drama called the Oresteia, which is the Trojan War. It's written around the Trojan War and Agamemnon's wife killing him in the bathtub. On and on and on. It gets very detailed, which I won't go into. But I have reset that into a modern day traveling carnival. And I have always loved these ancient Greek dramas, and I am having the greatest time in the world. I have been wanting to write this book for years, and I have written 13 novels, so I figure I finally have the skills to pull this off.
Yes, and you'll have plenty of opportunity for revenge, basing it on Greek drama.
Nasty things are happening. Right now, I've left it where the one guy has beat the other guy's head in with a rock and is burying him under a bush. Yes. And I learned that you cannot kill someone by shooting 100 CO2-powered BBs into their eyeball. There's not enough power. You needed to know that.
I do. That's good information for future reference. I'll stick to, like, knives in the eye or something.
I also have another cozy series. I have a proposal set, and I have a few chapters written, and I have an outline. So that's going to be next on my plate. After I finish this one, because after I finish this book, I get to find another agent. Woohoo! Oh, that's so much fun. But I'll tell you, you need agents because they know how to read contracts.
This is true. And they know how to be your champions with publishers and navigate the waters of the business side of writing. Because exactly. We'd writers rather spend our time setting BB impaled eyeballs on fire than...
Yeah. Me, exactly. Yeah, I will never sign another contract without an agent. Learn that lesson. Enough said. So I get to finish this book and edit it and go agent hunting. There's not enough liquor in the world. There really isn't.
And while you're writing an agent hunting, our listeners can be buying your books. So where could they do that?
I know Amazon is the great evil, but it is the easiest place to find all my books. All my Kate Morgan books and all my Julia books are on Amazon. I got the rights back to the first three Julias, and they're also on Smashwords, but Amazon, they're on Amazon, they're on iTunes, they're on Nook, they're on all the usual places.
Okay. Are they available in audio as well as print?
Alas, no. I have not yet had an audio contract. That is one of the things I want in the future.
So you mentioned iTunes, so I was just wasn't sure.
No, just regular Kindle type ebooks on iTunes.
Oh, okay. And where can our listeners find out more about you?
I'm on Facebook. Just look at Alice Luisi. If you type in Julia Driscoll, that will come to my author page, which I neglect horribly. Usually it's just me on Facebook. I also have a website with the exciting name of aliceluisi.net. And because, you know, Luisi's, if there's a Luisi in the country, we're related and there's not a lot of us. So yeah, I'm easiest to find on Facebook and Twitter, and it's just my name.
Okay. And for folks listening, Julia is spelled G-U-I-L-I-A, right?
No, G-I-U-L-I-A. G-I-U-L-I-A. Apparently G-I-U. I think there's a celebrity chef who spells it that way too.
Ah, okay. So they'll either find an ex-non-private investigator or a celebrity chef.
Celebrity chef. There you go. I don't see a problem with either one. Yeah. Food is good.
It's true. All right. Well, thank you very much, Alice, for joining me in the corner today.
Thank you. I had a great time.
You've been listening to me chat with Alice Luisi, author of the Julia G.I.U. Driscoll Mysteries, and also she writes as Kate Morgan, author of some very, very dark horror novels, just in case you're in the mood for something a little less light. I'm Alexia Gordon, author and host of the podcast. Thank you, listeners, for tuning in to another episode of The Cozy Corner with Alexia Gordon. Catch a new episode every other Wednesday on a podcast listening platform near you. Until next time, goodbye. Hello, listeners. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of The Cozy Corner with Alexia Gordon. I wanted to take a moment to tell you about another can't-miss podcast, The Crime Writers of Color. Hosted by Robert Justice, it's the podcast for readers who want to add some spice to their reading and diversity to their bookshelves. Listen to interviews with today's leading and emerging crime writers of color. The first episode features the multi-award-winning author of the Detective by Day mysteries, Kelly Garrett. Listen on Spotify, Apple Podcast, or Google Podcast. Subscribe so you don't miss an episode.
Welcome to the Crime Writers of Color podcast. We are a group founded by award-winning authors Kelly Garrett, Gigi Pandian, and the one and only Walter Mosley. My name is Robert Justice, and I am your host for this journey into the world created by the words of today's leading crime writers of color. To connect with us, please visit our website, crimewritersofcolor.com. While you're there, you can find out more about who we are, check out our books and new releases, and also be sure to sign up for our email list so you can stay up to date on all the latest happenings. We are glad you are here.
You've been listening to The Cozy Corner with Alexia Gordon. Thank you for joining me for another chat with an author writing on the less gritty side of crime. A new episode is out every other Wednesday. Subscribe on your favorite podcast listening platform, and if you enjoy the show, please leave a 5-star rating and review. Follow the podcast on Twitter and Instagram at podcast_cozy, and on Facebook at The Cozy Corner Podcast. This has been your host, Alexia Gordon. Thanks for listening. Until next time, goodbye.